Welcome to the Restoration Foursquare Church Audio Podcast. Stay tuned for our Winning Women Podcast.
Have your way, God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You ready for the work? Jesus. Mark 5. Declares this, and I'm going to give this to you in story form tonight. It says, they came to the other side of the sea, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man came running to him. This man came running to him. He lived in the tombs. The word tells us that he had an unclean spirit. The tombs, don't get confused by that. It is a graveyard, but it is more like a cave. So the man hid in caves is what the word tells us. And then we learn that no one could bind him. He was shackled with chains. His wrists, his ankles, he was shackled, and no one could bind him. You see, the word tells us he rubbed those chains, and he rubbed those chains, and he rubbed them, and then all of a sudden he snatched, and they fell off. Why was he shackled? He was shackled, I believe, because the people were afraid of him. You see, he had supernatural strength. And they would shackle him. The word tells us that the shackles could not hold him. No one had strength to subdue him. And the word says that night and day, nonstop, it says he cried out for help. That word right there, cry, is not what you think it is. That word cry right there means he screamed and he screeched in torment night and day. We're told that night and day among the tombs and in the mountains. A lot of verses say that he roamed the mountains like a lion, wild like a lion. And it says that he tore and he cut himself. Now listen, ladies, there's nothing new under the sun. Cutting was happening way back then. And he cut himself with stones night and day. He screeched and he screamed in torment night and day, and he cut himself. Can you imagine the permanent scars that left? We're told that when he saw Jesus, in a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? He knew who he was in the middle of his torment. For he was saying, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legions, for there are many. And the demons begged Jesus, please, don't send us out of the country. Send us into that herd of pigs. There were 2,000, just to give you an idea. All 2,000, when Jesus allowed them to go into the pigs, they fell off the bank and they drowned. The herdsman looked and said, can you imagine what he was thinking? Everything that he had was gone. Just like that. And we're told that the herdsman left. And that he went and told everybody what had happened. And when the people came back, they found Jesus. And that man that was shackled, his wrist, his ankles, cutting himself, bloody. He was clothed when they got there. You see, he was no longer running naked. He was clothed. I have to believe Jesus' hand was on that. All of a sudden, he's under the cover. You following me? And he's sitting there with clothes on. The people were so afraid by what they were seeing. And they literally asked Jesus to leave. The presence of God. Some people don't know what to do with the presence of God in the middle of sin. But that's what we're talking about. Now, when Jesus shows up to this demon-possessed man, who is now free, what do you think this man wanted to do? He wanted to go with Jesus just like you and I would. When he saves you from yourself, what do you want to do? I don't know about you, but I want to get just as close to that coattail as I can get and hold on. And he said to Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no, I need you to go to Decapolis. Don't forget that. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. I need you to go to Decapolis. I want us to take a look very quickly. I want to give you some details that you might not know about this story. The first thing is that the goal of demons is to destroy the image of God in you. That is his plan. That is the reason this demonized man, I believe, his face was contorted. I believe his body was frightening. I believe his eyes were wild, out of control, frightening, supernatural strength, inhuman, if you will. He had no clothes, so this man is a maniac naked. He lived in the graveyard because demoniacs were ostracized, which meant he's also unclean. So if he had a sane moment, are you hearing me? Nobody was coming. Nobody was coming. Oh, the enemy does his best work when we're isolated. Sometimes we choose that, don't we? I'm going to leave that right there. So we're told day and night he cried out in torment. That means he was not sleeping. What happens when the enemy comes in and you're not getting your rest? What does he do? He comes in like a flood to destroy your mind. So we're told day and night he's wrestling. Day and night without sleep. Screaming and shrieking and cutting himself. I want to tell you something I learned about shackles. They hurt. They hurt. Did I say they hurt? They hurt. And their mind are not very tight. So what shackles do to you, I want you to listen to the sound. It's a constant reminder of how bound you are. And that is what the enemy does to us. Listen. Nonstop. Every move you make, he wants to remind you of who you're not. Who you're not. So the shackles, they cut your legs. They cut your arms. And you bleed. And then after he breaks them off, maybe healing began to take place. And then somebody else would come up and put the shackles back on him in a weak moment. I don't believe he had supernatural strength all the time. I'll show you why. But he did have the reminder, I believe that. What is your name? My name is Legion, for there are many. I need you to hear this. The Lord showed me this is very important. Sickness, I need you to listen. Are you listening? Sickness does not speak. And I'm going to need you to chew on that. Sickness does not speak. Be careful what you say. Don't make that mistake. It's a trick. I also believe it's significant that Jesus gave the demons permission to enter in the pigs. Why? Because they immediately dove off into the water and drowned. I believe that is a representation saying, when I do it, it's over. When I deliver it, they're done. It's gone. If he's in control, they're gone. Amen. He has the ability, only he does, to destroy, not to return. A powerful testimony this man has. One of the greatest I've ever heard. Folks knew this man, and now he's coming before them fully clothed, fully whole, telling them about Jesus. You can't deny the truth when it's staring you in the face. But I have a concern. Do you believe that this man is more famous for his before Christ encounter or after? I'm going to need you to think about that a minute. Is he more famous based on the demons that had him bound, or is he more famous because he was an evangelist across the Decapolis, which was completely pagan? If I said to you, do you remember the man with the legion of demons? You would say, I know who he is and I know where to find it. But if I said to you, do you remember the evangelist? If I had a mic, I'd drop it right there. Okay. Sometimes folks want to tattoo you with what you used to be. Is that for anybody other than me? The strongholds you used to have, the relationships you used to be in, the men that you used, the places you used to go, the crutches you used to lean on. They want to tattoo you with who you used to be. And some folks won't entertain who you are right now, what he's done through you today, and what he's brought you from, because it's way more exciting to talk about who you used to be. Everybody won't celebrate with you. Everybody didn't celebrate with our brother. But I'm telling you, truth stare in your face. When it stares you in the face, you're not going to deny it. You can't help yourself. Have you ever wondered why, when God delivers you from a thing and you just keep going back to it and back to it, and then you find yourself wallowing in that very same thing that he just brought you through? You wallow in the shame of it. Sometimes it's because we need to recognize that the thing that has us bound is someone else. It's not the thing at all. It's not even you. It's what somebody says about you and speaks over you. Tonight, you're going to need to shake that off. Amen? We're going to shake it off. She's mentioned by name 14 times in the Gospels. Yet we only know a few things about her. She's the second most mentioned woman in the scriptures after the Virgin Mary. And there's a couple of things that I want to show you about her from Luke 8. Did I mention the name of my message tonight? I think I forgot. Should I tell you now? The name of my message is no. She never was a prostitute. Look at your neighbor and tell her no. She never was a prostitute. She never was. And I'm about to prove it. You ready? I love you, ladies. This is what I read. Soon afterward, Jesus went on through the cities and the villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. That's not linked in to one. Okay? Evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. And then there's Joanna, and then there's Susanna, and there's many others. So the first thing we know about Mary Magdalene is that she was a demoniac. Both Mark and Luke give us the fact, but neither share the details, and I wonder why. Have you ever wondered that? I believe I found the answer. Hold on. So we're told that the 12 were with Jesus. And then there were some women. The fact that we know that Mary of Magdala, the fact that we know about her is that Jesus cast out 7 demons from her. Now, the number seven here does not refer to seven. The number seven refers to totality. That means she is completely demon-possessed, like the man that I just described to you. Not seven individual demons, okay? In totality. She's completely demon-possessed. That means she didn't have an insane moment and then a sane moment. She's completely demon-possessed, okay? Kind of like the man I just told you. So I have to say, Mary, did you live in the caves? Mary, did they scream unclean? Mary, did you howl at the moon? Mary, did anybody even notice? Mary, were your arms bleeding? Were your ankles bloody? Did they constantly come and shackle you too? I have to believe that because she was completely demonized. Did anyone even notice? We don't know the details of Mary Magdalene's deliverance, but based on what I just shared, that moment was life-changing. Her bound-up spirit is now free. Her contorted face, I believe, is now serene because he showed up. Her shackled life is now filled with peace and wholeness. Evil spirits once controlled her, but now she's consumed with Jesus Christ, just like that. I want to show you something about the 12. The scripture tells us that they followed Jesus. To me, that means, help me here, they left their day jobs and they followed Jesus. That's difficult enough, isn't it? Just lay it all down and say, yes, Lord. You see, they weren't set free of demons. You see, they weren't healed of disease. They were called and they went. The women called him. The women followed him out of love and gratitude because he showed up in their life. I love you guys. I know you're up there. But they only did it out of obedience. It never says he showed up and did something that caused them to draw. They left what they were doing during the day and they followed the Messiah. There's just something about a woman and her Jesus. I'm gonna leave that right there. So you remember the man that I just told you about. I believe he's more famous for his before Jesus encounter than he is after he was set free. Mary Magdalene, well, what happened to her after her death is tragic. There are churches, there are ministries, there are buildings named Mary Magdalene. And they're pointing towards prostitutes, and she was never a prostitute. Are you hearing me? We got to get down to business here. Churches are naming ministries and buildings after a prostitute who never was. Get in the word, people. Oh, if I had a mic right now, I'd throw it. Okay. Look at your neighbor. No, she never was a prostitute. Go ahead and remind them. There's absolutely no evidence that demon possession led to immorality or sin. There's no evidence. Show me. There's none. What on earth happens to us? We're going to put this myth to bed tonight. Are you ready? Get your paper. Okay, here we go. Did you know more than 50% of the women in Palestine in Jesus' day were either named Mary or Salome? More than 50% Mary or Salome. We find Mary, the mother of Jesus. We find Mary Magdalene, who met Jesus somewhere in Galilee. We find the wife of Clopas, whose name was Mary. We find the other Mary. Good Lord, who names her the other Mary? But we have the other Mary. Help us, Jesus. And then we have Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Okay, look at me. Do you see why this is complicated? Yeah. I'm about to unpack it for you, though, okay? There's too many Marys. Let me help you. Mary of Bethany, Martha's sister, sat on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, a mile and a half southeast of Jerusalem. That is nowhere near Magdala. It's not close, okay? The Apostle John described Mary of Bethany as the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. That was Mary of Bethany. That was not Mary Magdalene. That was not Mary Magdalene. They're not even close. Mary of Bethany, say it with me. Anointed him. Thank you. Okay. We're not going to ever make that mistake again. I'm going to keep proving it, okay? Luke 7:37 says this. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. This is not a demon-possessed woman. How do you know that? Because she's fully clothed. She's not wild-eyed. She's not breaking people apart with her hands. There's not shackles tied. She showed up with a jar. That's how we know that that one is not the wild Mary. Okay? Stick with me. Are you breathing? Okay. That was not a demon-possessed woman. This woman is described as sinful, not demonic. Not demonic. Don't be confused by that woman and Mary of Bethany who poured out her perfume, watch this, at the house of Simon the leper. In Bethany, in this story, the town is unnamed, okay? As well as the woman's name. They're both unnamed. This is very important. There's some indicators that this was in Nain, N-A-I-N. We don't know for sure, but we do know that it's not in Bethany and it's not in Magdala, okay? This is a different woman completely. Completely three different areas. Also, the host at this gathering was Simon the Pharisee, not Simon the leper. They're two different men. Okay? You following me? Sometimes you got to break that thing down so we can keep it real and stop naming buildings after a prostitute that never was. Okay. Y'all love me? You guys that are watching, you love me? I hope so. And I hope you didn't name a building after Mary Magdalene. Okay. Scholars declare that there is absolutely no way to connect Mary of Bethany with the sinner and with Mary of Magdala. Watch this. How do we know that the sinning woman was not Mary Magdalene? How do you know that? I've already showed you, but I'm gonna show you one more thing. Watch this. Because Mary Magdalene is introduced as Mary of Magdala in the next chapter of Luke. When you find that in your studies and they give the name and they give the location, that is because that is the first time the person has been talked about. It can't be the same woman. He specifically says Mary of Magdala. That's the first time it's used. Very important while you're studying. And then here's the final clue. The Lord's last gentle command to this unnamed sinful woman in Luke was go in peace. What did he say to Mary Magdalene? Come on, follow me. Did you see that? Two different women. Three different women. How did this gossip happen? Can I call that gossip? Yeah. I'm glad you asked. Thanks, guys. I'm glad you asked. You're probably going to need to buckle your safety belt about right now because you're not ready for this. How on earth did this happen? Has anybody ever lied on you? Hold that thought. Anybody ever lied to you? Hold that. How on earth did this gossip happen? In 591 AD. Are you hearing me? After the death of Jesus Christ in year 591. That's when it happened. There was a man, Gregory the Great. He preached a sermon. And he lumped all three of these women in one account, the sinful woman, Mary of Bethany, and Mary Magdalene, and he did it in 591 AD. I'm gonna need you to think about that a minute. Where are the Bible scholars? Sometimes we just hear things and we just believe it and we don't even study. Ladies, we got to get the word out. We got to get that Bible out. We got to start digging. And we cannot just believe everything we hear, because I'm telling you, we're in a time right now. And when you see those buildings and you go, oh, now I'm going to need you to go, they didn't read the word. Yes or no? Yes or no? You're welcome. All right, you ready for the next part? Why and how have we missed it? For centuries, religious artwork was considered the gospel for those that could not read. Artwork, Christian artwork. Guess what they did? They painted Mary Magdalene in red gowns, red representing a harlot. And that's what they gave to the people that couldn't read. They put a very seductive look on, you know what I'm talking about. They painted her in a very seductive way. They made her look loose. They had that look with those big red lips and that red flowy gown. And everybody believed it. What are you going to do the next time you see that picture? We're not having this conversation again, ladies. You're going to get it this time, okay? So I have this question. After I describe to you what the demoniac looked like and what Mary Magdalene looked like, do you really think her job would have been very profitable if the men started coming in and she's got wild eyes and she's shackled up? She's going to go bankrupt, ladies. I'm telling you, the woman was not a prostitute. Okay, can I say that? Okay. Y'all gonna go home and think about this. You're gonna go, that woman, I don't even know about her. Pray for me, okay? He shows me this stuff, I can't contain it. I had a visual. I better go on. No, they told me no. Well, let me tell you who she really is, because it's gonna break your heart. When you think about what I just told you, let me tell you who she really is. She's a woman of prominence. How do I know that? Name order is extremely significant in the Bible. If you take a look at Mary Magdalene, whenever there are two or three women listed, she is always first other than one. Out of nine times, there's only one time when she is not listed first. Guess who was first? Mary, the mother of Jesus. She should have been second. And she was. That tells us right there, she was a woman of prominence. Prominence. Not only that, she was a woman of wealth. The scripture tells us that she helped fund the ministry of Jesus. Those women did. Woman of wealth, woman of prominence. Do you really think Jesus would have allowed her to be in the Bible listed first every time if she was a full-blown prostitute? No, I don't believe he would have. I don't believe he would have. Bear with me. Are you buckled up? Why aren't the details of this prominent woman's deliverance given to us in Scripture? Have you ever even thought about it? I had not. Anybody tell me if you've ever thought about it. No, we just decided she was a prostitute. Why? I believe it is because the most important appearance of Jesus Christ in Mary's life would be the second time he encountered her and turned her world upside right. You see, Mary would be the first witness of the resurrection. And Mary would also be the first woman to commission the gospel. Oh, wait a minute. So you're telling me that Mary Magdalene was the first witness of the resurrection. You're telling me that she was the first preacher? It was a woman? Huh. I'm telling you that. I believe the enemy has used this lie of Mary Magdalene for a reason. I believe he has allowed the church to believe and buy into the story that she was a prostitute. Why? Because she was the first preacher and it was a woman. And if the enemy can dilute, oh, you're not hearing me. I do not think you're hearing me. If the enemy can destroy her credibility, then you will say, oh, she was just an evangelist. I'm going to need you to think about that. If he can convince the church that she was a prostitute, then her credibility is shot. Oh, ladies, you better not fall for that one. I'm here to tell you so you don't, okay? I don't know about you, but people have lied about me. They have lied on me, and they have flat out gossiped about me. I've been misunderstood. I've been used. I've been abused. And friends, I'm here to tell you that my past will no longer hold me. Do you hear me? It will no longer hold me because somehow I'm getting these things off. They're coming off. Do you hear me? They're coming off. I'm not going to be tattooed. I'm not going to be lied about. I'm not holding on to what's behind me. I'm not going to be like the man where you remember my past more than you remember what God did for me. And if you stay there, it's going to be your choice. But it's not going to be because I didn't give you the weapon tonight. I'll guarantee you that. I'm choosing not to allow my before Christ encounter to define who I am by holding on to it like a trophy. Somebody needs to hear that. We cannot. Oh, I'm just getting all bum-fuzzled up here. I'm sorry, and we're live. And we cannot buy into that because I'm telling you, the enemy has stolen your future by tattooing you with your past. I believe it with everything in me. You know, we've all walked through difficult times, and the key word here is we've walked through it. It doesn't own us. It's not supposed to define us. We've walked through it. Thank you. Today, we can no longer allow the enemy. And we cannot allow our family. And you cannot allow your friends. And I use that term lightly. And you cannot allow those that are not in your inner core to tattoo you with who you used to be. Whether it be, listen to me, whether it be the truth, that's good preaching. Thank you, Lord. Whether it be the truth, are you hearing me? Whether it be the truth or whether it be a lie. That's the key. He is our deliverer. If that is a true statement, and I believe it is, then we ought to act like it. Hallelujah. I believe tonight is your night. You don't have to stay stuck. You don't have to wear any longer what someone else says you are, you did. You don't have to wear it anymore. It's a choice. The enemy has actually used that to steal from you, just like he did Mary Magdalene. Exactly the same. It's the same story. And he's lied to the church, and the enemy has allowed it to run rampant. It is a lie. He's the father. There are pulpits that I couldn't stand in. And I just want to say, can I show? Okay. The Lord said to me, tell them don't stay stuck. Don't stay stuck. What does that mean? Who you used to be. Don't stay stuck, whether it's a lie or whether it's the truth. Whether your family's telling you that's who you are, whether your friends loosely tells you that's who you are, don't stay stuck. Today it's a new day. It's a new day. We're going to get unstuck, amen? I love that. Just because you used to be that girl doesn't mean you are now. And the only reason you're holding on to it is because somebody tattooed you with it. Who told you that? Ariel, wherever you are, who told you that? Genesis, who told you that? We're going to do this a little bit different tonight, okay? Why? Because sometimes when the enemy's lied to you and you've bought into it, and when your family has lied to you, I'm just keeping it real because I've been lied to. I've been lied on. Okay.
And that's a wrap. Thanks again for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. If God has touched your life through our church or Winning Women Ministries, please email us your testimony at amen@r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.